Okay. Learn, do, share. The conversations. Today we ask David Gravina and Lance Weiler about their experiences at the cross-section of design science, storytelling, collaboration and social innovation. Dave is the founder and creative director of Digital Eskimo, a Sydney-based, human-centred design consultancy. Lance is a storyteller, experienced designer and co-founder of Reboot Stories, an innovation engine for digital literacy, cross-generational learning and social change. Here's Dave, starting with the challenges of participatory storytelling.
I guess the interesting part of the process with that type of storytelling is how you facilitate and weave, you know, how you let go of control over the outcomes while still encouraging or affording certain types of outcomes or interactions with the story anyway. So that you sort of, it's quite a subtle game, I guess, or you have to be very subtle with the facilitation approach you take, or the kind of wayfinding and pointers you provide people to engage with it.
Yeah, that's definitely a challenge. I mean, I think some of the stuff that I'm looking at and constantly challenging both what I'm doing and the projects that we're working on is how do you filter those things and how do you keep a certain degree of how do you move the story forward in a way that is coherent and doesn't just become so much noise, yet leaves room for those really amazing participatory surprises and those elements. So like rooting it in a very strong kind of, I found it through design, really, like simple things like we did these really cool heart packs that you could download from the site, and the heart packs carried a similar kind of like mouth, eyes, antenna, and there was one that you could cut out and make a small robot with, and there was another you could print out in color. And we had autistic kids that were using them, to first graders, to, you know, middle school, high school, all different people participated. But when you saw like the gallery effect of all that, it had a consistency with just those little simple design traits that carried through. It made it feel more anchored. And so, I'm constantly trying to find that simplicity within the work so then I can make it easier. But it's all, it's all a lot of experimentation, kind of failing quickly, learning from that failure and kind of moving forward.
Yeah, we did a project called Agents of Change, which we launched at a gallery, which was frequented more by the design community than the general public, but open to the general public. And we sort of posed the question to designers, or challenged to look at design as a tool for engaging with any problem in any sector, in any sphere, and ask people to come up with, we posed a question on the wall using a kite metaphor. So we had a kite, which was the opportunity kite, which asked people to, what opportunities could they see for changing, using design to change the world. And then we had lots of different coloured post-it notes, which matched the different disciplines. We're sort of interested to see what kind of disciplines were coming to the event and so on. And we got a really interesting, beautiful, multicoloured post-it note kite tail at the gallery, and lots of interesting information that guided an ongoing project of ours. And then we were invited to take it on a roadshow down to Melbourne the design festival that runs down in Melbourne. And so it was, we redesigned it. So instead of being on a gallery wall, it was on some large trestles, and we produced it on these big recycled cardboard sheets and left it open to the public. But the interesting thing is when you put texters and post-it notes and a big sheet of mostly white board in the public arena, you don't necessarily get what you're expecting. And we got some stuff, we got some interesting sort of thoughts, and that's where the fun and the value's there. But also we got, a whole range of graffiti and just that sort of, that messiness that comes when you engage with the public. You've just got to accept that and, totally destroyed our painstakingly crafted boards. But That's what happens when you engage in the real world, and you've got to accept that as part of it, you know. So it's fun if you let it be.
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, sometimes it can take you to, you know, places that you didn't necessarily expect, but I think that that's the challenge. I mean, normally any time that I ever talk to anybody about participatory culture or, you know, I kind of moved away from using the word co-creation because what ended up happening is it would just stifle so many people, you know, because they would just think, well, wait, and now everybody's creating at the same time. And if everybody's creating at the same time, who owns what's being created? And what does that mean? And well, wait, how do you make sure it's not just crap? And it really kind of just derailed the potential of the experimentation because people came with so many preconceived notions of what that word create means. And so once we kind of stepped away from that and made it more about, and this is just subtle little, you know, terminology or just nuances, but, you know, started to focus more on, you know, the whimsical nature of it and the play nature of it and the collaboration of it, as opposed to the creation of it. It actually changed. And we just ran something this past weekend. We do these, we have another project that we're working on called Wish for the Future, which we partner with the Buckminster Fuller Institute on. And it's a project that involves, you know, you kind of make a wish in 140 characters or less, and then that wish is granted through a creative act of expression by somebody. It could be a story, it could be a video, it could be a, you know, a piece of artwork, or hopefully a collaborative action in the real world. And then a certain number of them are actually then turned into artifacts by both school children and whoever else is interested. And then the wish, the granted wish and the artifact are then buried in one of seven time capsules and sealed away for 100 years. And the idea being that the time capsules will broadcast back to the people who granted wishes, reminding them of the wishes that they granted until the batteries on them die. And so we run these kind of rapid prototyping sessions that are like an hour and incredibly ambitious. You know, in an hour's time, we try to go from wish to prototype to stories that bring empathy to the prototype in 60 minutes. And it's a lot of fun. It's very engaging. You know, sometimes we're able to do it at South by Southwest. We were able to do it in 60 minutes. This past weekend, we went like 10 minutes over. But but the way that people are when they start to really kind of collaborate and they start to have fun and they start to play, amazing ideas can come out of that. And, you know, that's just this really kind of beautiful place to be in this moment where it's kind of you're seeing it kind of happen or emerge, and people are realizing that they're sparking ideas right there from something that they thought was just they were weary of it to begin with, or they weren't sure how it was going to work. And then you see it pulling them in, and then, you know, and then afterwards they were like, oh my gosh, you know, that was a lot of fun. That's that's some of the most fun that I've had in a while in terms of being at any event like this. But you know, I think that kind of thing, there's something to be said about that social play element. You know, it's almost been snuffed out in a lot of ways for adults, I think.
Yeah, and I guess that's where there's potential for design to be welcomed into the problem-solving arena more readily if it's seen as if it's experienced. I guess one of the things that I think is interesting about doing work in the public space is, you know, I really love this notion that we're moving into an era where design literacy or the ability, it's this idea that, you know, we have maths literacy and language literacy as a base skill that we learn at school to navigate in the world, and we're expected to have a certain level because you need to be able to solve and manage basic maths problems to get by. Yet we haven't taught design problem solving as a basic literacy, and we're entering, there's this sort of notion that we're entering an era where it's now probably one of the most important skills that we can have to be able to deal with uncertainty in our lives and in our communities and societies, and to have people have a basic grasp and an ability and capacity to engage with problems in their lives through a creative process, design being the one that we perhaps most familiar with. It's kind of an exciting idea that we can kind of spread it as a tool. And I guess if people are experiencing it as play initially or learning from these kind of public engagements, that, wow, there's this other way to tackle a problem, or this other way to engage with my world, then perhaps they'll be open to going a little bit deeper, taking that into their professional and personal lives. Kind of interested in that aspect of how participatory design engagements can help spread that notion.
Yeah, and what's really neat about that is I think in those moments where people all of a sudden start to go wide with their own thought, or you have things that come and they're totally unexpected, or they seem absurd, but then all of a sudden they unlock something. And it's interesting because, you know, from coming from a screenwriting background or a writing background, a lot of the times when you'll write, you'll effectively get notes, right? And you'll get these notes, and then the notes will kind of detail what, you know, a group of people feel the changes should be. And when you kind of go through them, when the notes are really good, a lot of the times it's not necessarily about just addressing those notes. It's almost like the times that you don't address the note directly, but what it opens in your own mind that takes you to a different place that was unexpected. And I see that in some of the play aspects of it, where all of a sudden you see people sparking because it sounded absurd and they were all laughing about it, but then all of a sudden it starts to unlock these things that they didn't necessarily expect. And I think that's kind of like igniting that imagination almost, you know, and rekindling it. And so I think in terms of what you're talking about with design literacy, I think that's very important, and I think that fits into like the idea of digital literacy in general, and being able to have an understanding of the world around you, you know, an understanding of how you fit into that world and borrowing from design. And I'm sure these are things that you guys would love to, you know, at some point get more of a sense of the process that you work through. I think it'd be fun to see that, and we could show you our like ragtag crazy experimentation, you know, and, yeah, and compare notes. But that's the part that's really, I think, the most fun about it is, kind of putting stuff into the wild and seeing, you know, seeing what the response is, and then trying to improve it and continue. So,
yeah, well, also that idea that, you know, design helps you go wide and helps you get crazy, imaginative, and make the leaps and have fun doing it, and that's all critical and exciting. And then I guess the other thing that a design process gives you the confidence to experiment and not fear failure. And then ultimately, I guess what I often talk about to our clients and collaborators is, you know, as much as it is about going wide and coming up with the ideas, design's great at kind of still prioritizing and then narrowing back down to mm-hmm. to actually get something out and prototype it and iterate and deliver an outcome that is tangible and real and can be made or is able to be placed in the world as a tangible experiment. And I think, you know, having people in the public experience that, I think it's an amazing feeling of going from, right, we're here together to do something, anything, go through that process of play and imaginative thinking, and then take one of those ideas or a couple of them and then actually iterate it down to come out the other end with something tangible. I think I love that, seeing, you know, the impact that has on people in terms of, wow, this is an empowering process and this is a practical process, I guess. It's something that we can use in the real world and not just to make, you know, creative things that may or may not, well, they always have cultural value, but things that I guess I like the idea of people seeing it as applicable across anything, any field. I guess it's lovely to go into the public and share that in an hour. We've talked a few times to people who are looking at doing gallery engagements where effectively, you know, UTS, ULab have been doing it here, where you actually take the public on that full journey in an hour, like you said, it's challenging.
Yeah,
but it's exciting, and it's such a ride for people. And if it's done well, I think it has so much value in terms of opening up minds to the possibilities.
Yeah, and I think what the part that's really exciting about that is when we actually can design something that could be like it's either taken as a framework and applied in another way, or you get into a scenario where you can have those actionable items or people come together and they action in a way that has value, and then you can measure it. You know, you can look at the inputs from it, you can look at the data from it, and then potentially repeat, you know, and try again, and you know, even if the variables are slightly different, then you can kind of look at it, how it continues, which is exciting.
Yeah, and certainly when you see people who have kind of would, I think a large percentage of the population sees design or the creative industries or what have you as kind of great for fluffy, fun stuff, but when they see that now it's actually a practical process that delivers outcomes, that is a very important thing to be sharing with a large percentage of the population who perhaps don't see it as that relevant.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, it's interesting to see, you know, I've only been to Australia once, I mean, I think, you know, just in hearing what you're describing, there's a lot of similarities between what I'm seeing emerging here in the United States. And I think that aspect of being able to have a little more kind of a step towards sustainability, or as you mentioned at the top of this conversation, the ability to kind of design in that way or move that in that direction is very exciting. And I think some of the things that we're trying to do with the learn, do, share element that ILA is working on is kind of put a lot of kind of combine like almost like this idea of the sweet spot of open source or things that are Creative Commons, and trying to help, you know, ideate over time and have hopefully workable models that can be replicated, you know, and can be used in a variety of ways. Because I do very much agree with you in terms of things bubbling up. I think it's a tremendous opportunity in an unprecedented time. And I think it really is quite amazing at what's possible when you bring a number of people together to collaborate around something.
Perhaps unprecedented, and that's kind of one of the exciting parts about living now, and also so needed. I mean, I was talking at Ella, we've got the Change Makers group down in Bondi in Australia, where I live, where I am now, and we've met up, and we were talking the other day about the importance of networks and of joining the dots between lots of groups doing stuff at the moment, collaborating sometimes in silos, but there's this kind of connecting happening, and I think it's more advanced in the States, from what I hear, and some of the scale of some of the incubation spaces and some of the, you know, social entrepreneurial kind of facilities, and there's venture capital, and there's a certain kind of critical mass happening on your side of the pond that we're still lacking here, but there's definitely some a similar kind of change happening here, just a little perhaps smaller at the moment. But this connection is mirroring society, I think, and all the grassroots stuff that's happening outside of our fields in terms of people looking for solutions to their problems and engaging with climate change and this sense of the negative impacts of globalization, and, you know, it's happening in the food movement. We've got this fantastic food movement happening here, as you have in the States, and all the stuff that's happening around localization, et cetera, et cetera. And it's all kind of connecting, and I love the fact that it's all starting to play off each other. People are often, I see the same people across these different different areas, these different fields, these different sessions and meetings. It's like, oh yeah, you again, right? Yeah, you're into that too. It's yeah, it's an exciting time. I think it's the awakening. It's this kind of rising up, I guess, of the bottom up change that's going to sweep history at some point. We just have to hurry it along, which is, I guess, what we can do as creatives and designers and facilitators and people looking to engage with participatory change. Our role is just part of that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think what's exciting about the opportunity to be able to talk to other people who are doing it in different parts of the world is you realize the commonality to what's happening. And, you know, some of it's driven by technology, some of it's driven by, where we are culturally. But I think also what's really exciting about it is I think that there, you know, it's something that's just, it feels like it's just deep rooted, you know, and it doesn't matter where it is in the world. There's just something that, politically, whether it's politically or it's environmentally or whatever the reason. I mean, I think fundamentally it's just realizing that you can't necessarily continue on the same path, you know, yeah. And if we don't alter that path, we're in trouble. And yeah, I think once you have like an outcome where, you know, as people start to wake to the realities of like, oh, well, wait, we are actually in trouble, then you have kind of a collective goal. Or at least you hope, where people either kind of bury their heads in the sand or they start to try to pitch in and do something that they feel passionate about to make some degree of difference in some way.